Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are. With Dan Z, the podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Like Suara did in the name of the rebellion because of those embroiling moments that we saw essentially, you know, these two characters of Mon Mothma and Saw. We got to see Saw in this episode and how it leads into the decisions that are made to Rogue One. I really liked those tie-ins. But in the name of the rebellion really was really showing some key elements that make it so essential to the development of the arc.
Sure. Not only do I love your point, but I like that you said Seesaw and you didn't even bat an eye. You lighten the mood as well. Thank you.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
There you go, Seesaw. Hello, everybody, and welcome to show number 138 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, rhetoric, and the best travel tips this side of the galaxy. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation coffee out of my Rancho Obi-Wan coffee mug. On CWK, I invite you to join me as we think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way and perhaps have a few laughs. You are absolutely among Star Wars family as we go to our favorite coffee shop and talk some Star Wars. On today's show, I am joined by the hosts of Kanata's Castle, Becca Benjamin and Devin Myers, as we share our top five teachable moments in Star Wars. The school year has started back for me this week, and I'm very excited, and this just seemed like the perfect topic to kick off the school year and another episode of Coffee with Kenobi. In the interview segment, I catch up with Ian Desher, author of William Shakespeare's Star Wars series, and we have an excellent conversation. He's an awesome guy anyway, and this might be the coolest conversation we've ever had on the show, so I'm really excited to share that with you. And no news segment this week. We gave Tom the week off. It's the first week of school, as I said, and we are going to have plenty of all that time needed for our top five teachable moments. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
So we got to talk about the Clone Wars again. I'm still finalizing some things. I think it would be stronger if we had a target date for when the streaming service went live and go from there for planning purposes, because the kind of organizational person that I am, I don't want to start and be halfway through season two, and then all of a sudden the brand new episodes come out, which is probably a little bit OCD, but I'm okay with that. It helps for the planning. So I want to have some sort of a rhythm to it. I don't want to cut things short. So maybe we'll wait and do sort of top episodes leading up to that actual date, and we don't know what that is. So it's hard to say right now. So I guess I'm going to kind of table it. And if you feel strongly to try something different, please, please let me know, because I'm certainly open to listening. And speaking of listening, I really hope that you get a chance to download the Disney Dish podcast with Jim Hill. That network that Jim has is excellent. It has a lot of great tips for Disney, for Marvel, for Universal Studios, for the theme parks, and of course, for all of your Star Wars needs. I join Jim each month for Looking at Lucasfilm. The episodes are fun. We just recorded our fifth. We're going to record our sixth here later in the week. And he's a fantastic guy. He's great to listen to. You've heard him on the show many times. And it's a huge, huge honor for me to be able to co-host this show with him. It's just really a dream. I've been listening to Jim for a very long time, so this is a fantastic thing. So you'll see a lot of notifications for that on our Coffee with Kenobi Twitter and Facebook feeds and on the website. But be sure to subscribe to Looking at Lucasfilm, which now has its own podcast feed on iTunes. And you'll hear me there with Jim talking about Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Indiana Jones, Willow, anything that comes up that is related to Lucasfilm, you're going to hear it there. And often Jim has some insights and some behind-the-scenes stuff that many don't know, and it's really, really invaluable as well as entertaining.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Joining us today for a cup of coffee are the hosts of Kanata's Castle. First, let's bring in Becca Benjamin.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me for a cup of coffee this evening.
Absolutely. And, of course, family members of Coffee with Kenobi know that Becca is a Star Wars blogger and a podcast host of not only Kanata's Castle, but Tarkin's Top Shelf. And I believe the very first show you were ever on was our show, correct?
It was. I believe it was episode 10.
Wow, look at that.
Oh, of course, wow. It's Anakin, so I don't forget.
There you go. And the other voice you hear is that of our other host of Kanata's Castle. That is Devin Myers.
Red 5 Mom standing by.
There you go.
Yes, I can't help but Becca always makes me laugh, so I had to laugh.
Did I give away your secret identity?
You did, but that's okay.
I think everyone knows it now.
Yeah.
Well, this is our assignment, and I'm using the word assignment purposefully because, as I said at the top of the show, I am back in school now. Summer's over, and I'm back in school, which is fine because I love teaching. It's definitely my passion. But it reminded me, and I was driving to work, I thought, why don't we do the top five teachable moments in Star Wars? Because there are many of them. And for clarification, a teachable moment, at least from my point of view, is a moment that happens between two characters where they can learn from it and be instructed by a mentor or a guide, or it can turn kind of combative or argumentative, or just is not a productive way of growing a relationship or growing a person's self-esteem or confidence. But teachable moments do just that. They teach and they instruct. So, with that being said, Becca, why don't you start it off for us and tell us the first one that you have written down. Now, of course, these aren't necessarily in order of priority or of something that you think is most important, but what's the first one you have written down?
The first one I have written down is from A New Hope, and it's when Leia comforts Luke after Ben Kenobi dies to the hands of Vader, and she tells him basically there's nothing he could have done. And this isn't the first time Luke hears this throughout the movie. He hears it, of course, from Ben when he discovers Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru dead at the moisture farm. And the lesson is basically, in my opinion, stop worrying about things you can't control and focus on things that you can. You know, it's something that I think it's harder to grasp when you're that age of Luke. At that time, he's an adolescent. He's a young man. He's just crossing that threshold into manhood. You know, he's, you know, not quite there. So it's hard for him to accept things that basically don't turn out the way he had planned. Let's face it. We are all three of us here are parents. So we see this with our own kids. We've been in their shoes when, you know, the day just doesn't go as you planned. And that's how it is. And you have to learn to cope. You have to learn to deal with it and make it work for you. So I think this is one of those lessons that you can take it out of that whole galactic spectrum and bring it down to the real world and make it a little smaller, but yet fit your everyday life. And that's one I always end up coming back to.
Yeah, that's a great one to start us off with. Devin, what do you have for your first one?
My first one is when Qui-Gon Jinn is speaking to Anakin. And he says, your focus determines your reality. Of course, you know this from our text messages this morning back and forth. But I just love this quote because it's, I mean, you have, and even Master Obi-Wan tells Anakin, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. My brain just messed this all up. It's not Obi-Wan, it's Qui-Gon Jinn who says Anakin, you know, that he needs to be mindful of his thoughts. They'll betray him as well. So, you know, if we could read each other's thoughts, the world would be in chaos. But our own thoughts kind of make our lives difficult. And I have told my own kids and my students that positive attitude brings positive results. And, of course, this is sort of advice that's hard to follow for myself. And I think all of us have a hard time with that.
Oh, sure.
But I think about how can we be encouraging others when we're constantly discouraging to ourselves? And sometimes we just derail our own ability to do. And our inner dialogue is full of try and can't. And so often we can never be a part of something amazing and wonderful and exciting and fun and life-changing because we're listening to our negative feelings about it. And I think that's what Qui-Gon was trying to help Anakin see, how to be positive in his situation, even though it didn't seem like it was a good situation.
Sure. No, I love that. It's like what you put out in the universe is what is going to come back at you, kind of.
Right, right.
I agree with that. And I have a similar quote, I think maybe even from a similar conversation where Qui-Gon says to a young Anakin in The Phantom Menace, feel, don't think, use your instincts. I think about this quote often, and it's certainly a teachable moment because he's basically saying, don't think about it, it's just going to make you anxious. Basically, a lot of my quotes are about getting away from anxiety, because we all struggle with anxiety in one way, shape, or form, because anxiety is this fear of not being in control. And the news that we may want to look at, and this is a fact, all you can control is your attitude. And he's basically saying, just feel, use your instincts, trust who you are, because that's all you can control. Don't think about what might go wrong or what someone else might be doing or what might happen. Just be you and do your thing, and it will turn out beautifully. Of course, Anakin does do that, at least at this phase of his life, and things go very, very well for him. Becca, what about your second one?
It's kind of similar to my first. I happen to be one of those that go back to the very first Star Wars all the time. It's my go-to Star Wars film, so a lot of it comes from that. But in A New Hope, Luke is sad and disappointed when Han leaves the fight when they're at the Rebel base on Yavin. And Leia redirects Luke once again and brings him back to the here and now. She tells him, basically, he must choose his own path. No one can choose it for him. And I like this because it's one of those things that I tell my kids, when, especially when they were smaller, you know, when someone doesn't want to do what they want to do or changes their plans on them or, you know, needs to go home or doesn't want to hang out with them and wants to go with somebody else. And I tell them, I go, you know, basically it's like telling, what Leia's telling Luke here is what I would tell my kids is, just think about how hard it is to change yourself or like something you want to do or what you're thinking. And then you'll understand what little chance you have trying to change others, because it's hard enough to change your own mind, let alone somebody else's. So I think, again, it goes back into play where, you know, we spend a lot of our time focusing on what others do and what others think. We're not really spending enough time on, you know, what really matters and what someone else decides to do. You know, if it's not on the same alignment as yours or as you are, it doesn't mean it's wrong, but you shouldn't just focus on that. You need to keep going forward,
right,
and let the day play out.
Sure. Well said. Yeah, it's very similar to the idea of all you can control is you, and like, you can't worry about his path. You just got to do your thing and be Luke. I love it. I love it. Very good. Red Five Mom, notice I used your code name. What's your second one?
My second one is called the quote that Yoda says to Anakin, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. And I thought of this quote a lot.
I've always struggled with this quote, so I'm looking forward to what you say.
It's well, some of it's tough, but I think most of the quotes from Star Wars are that Yoda says are worth paying attention to. I find myself getting attached to stuff whenever I find myself getting attached to stuff rather than people. I think of these words from Yoda. And when my family was involved in helping rebuild after Hurricane Katrina, the loss of stuff was constantly in our field of vision in a blinking of an eye. It can all be gone. And just talking to those people and how, you know, years of their lives, you know, decades of their lives are just washed away. I thought about how more important we make stuff over people. And after that year, I was forever changing how I thought about gathering and keeping stuff. But and then as my kids got older, and a certain kid in particular, this has moved to a personal connection with a child who has struggled with addiction. And I have had to make peace with the fact that they may not live very long in this particular situation. And I've had to train myself to lose what every parent fears to lose, because you kind of have to put yourself in that position. This could happen. What are you going to do with that? So that's kind of been where I'm at with that quote for Yoda.
Wow, that's very powerful. I really appreciate you sharing that. I can't even imagine. It's very hard. I mean, Yoda does bring up a lot of incredible gems, but it's a challenge. And I think at that moment it's confusing for Anakin as well.
Yes, and I honestly think Yoda knows that he's what he is afraid to lose, which is Padme. And that's what he means. You know, you can't be afraid to lose her.
Because then you live in a place where you're not actually living.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
true. Well, my second one is the one that I thought we would all say for our number one, and what most people probably think of when they think of Star Wars in particular witticisms, and that would be do or do not, there is no try, of course. And I love using that, especially when I'm teaching. But the reason I like to bring this quote up is not what it means, but what I think people think it means. I've heard a lot of people say, and we've talked about this on the show before, that Yoda's saying you're not supposed to try. Yoda's actually not saying that at all. He's saying trying is basically, Luke, is basically your way of saying you're not going to give it your all, you're not going to give it your best, you don't believe. So what he really is saying is just do it. Do your best, or just don't do your best, but don't try, because that's like giving half your effort, and half your effort is no effort. He wants Luke to be everything, because there are no shortcuts in life, and Luke is looking for, and he's looking for the quick and easy path, which, as we know, leads to the dark side. And Luke obviously resists that, and he's probably the most centered, most powerful Jedi in Star Wars lore, because he's actually the only one who does turn from that completely. But he falls down a lot. And to me, and this is also why I love The Last Jedi, even though this quote is not from The Last Jedi, is because Luke fails so much. That's why he succeeds, and that's why I find him relatable, because we all fail. We fail in a lot of ways on a daily basis, not on a grandiose scale, of course, but these are important lessons that we can incorporate into what we believe and what becomes our philosophy. And I think it's very refreshing to see that from our heroes. But let's go ahead and take our first break, and when we come back, I will have my interview with William Shakespeare's Star Wars author, Ian Desher. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn Alliances and Most Wanted to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. I've got a brand new read for you from HelloFresh. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard of HelloFresh, but it is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients just so you can cook, eat, and enjoy. And believe me, for me to say this is kind of a big deal because I am not a cook. Now, I have a friend who used to tell me, well, if you can read, you can cook. But it's not quite that simple. There's still a lot of prep that goes into it. But with HelloFresh, I feel like a lot of the difficult stuff, the learning curve is cut really in half. And I think it's great. Basically, you've got three plans to choose from. Classic, veggie, or family. I pick family because it's the two. It's my wife and I and the three boys. So we've got some hungry people in the house. But each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. And it makes family dinners fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested and approved family plan recipes. Each week they have a 20-minute meal on the classic menu for when you really don't have that time and you just need to get something made for the family and get it out there. And it's always going to be delicious. I've had three different kinds of meals so far from HelloFresh, and each one is fantastic. You can look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing dinner just got that much easier. Feel confident when you're cooking HelloFresh with these simple recipes outlined on pictured step-by-step instruction cards. It really is laid out for you beautifully and well-organized, and it's quite nice to be able to follow something like that. It's easier to put together than most recipes because it shows you the ingredients. It shows you how to put it all together, and it's really kind of foolproof, which is good because, as I said, I am not a cook, but with HelloFresh, I don't need to be. Now, they were kind enough to send me some for me to try, and we made these pork and poblano tacos, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but if you've ever had them, you know they're delicious, and the ones that I got came with this kiwi salsa and this lime, And the tortillas were there and this Mexican spice. And honestly, it took about 30 minutes to get it ready. I followed the directions. My wife and I did it together, which is really fun because we get to, you know, spend a little bit of couple time together and make dinner. And plus, I didn't have to go out and shop and find everything or get everything measured perfectly because it was already delivered for you in these handy, self-contained little individual packages. And it's fresh for you. And it really is fantastic. We also had chicken and we had some different kinds of burgers. They're just out of this world delicious. Like, you can't imagine. And this is not hyperbolic selling here. This is, honestly, it was delicious food. The flavors, the spices, unbelievable. So this is what you can do to be a part of this and try it. And you're going to help out the show, which I appreciate. And your belly will appreciate because you're going to love this food. You have a HelloFresh offer just from Coffee with Kenobi. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes. Visit HelloFresh.com/CWKFamily60 and enter the promo code CWKFamily60. And it's the number 60. It's all one word. HelloFresh.com/CWKFamily60 and enter the promo code CWKFamily60. It's like receiving six meals free, up to 50% off three boxes. It's really fantastic. And after you've been cooking and eating, be sure to share your collection of food and your incredible designs in the kitchen with hashtag HelloFreshPicks. Before we continue the show, this is when I want to share with you the latest clip from our CWK Pour Over, which is our Coffee with Kenobi Patreon exclusive show featuring myself, Corey Club, and Tom Gross. But before I share that clip with you, I'd like to thank our CWK Patreon family contributors, Ben Elkington, Rebecca Raven, Dennis Keithley, Terry Lee, Wayne Booker, Aaron Harris, Chris Skavarka, Angela Sauce, Mediocre Jedi, Pil Picaro, Tim Bungaroth, Chris Metz, LJ Souter, Thea Selby, Jeff Ellis, Daz Davies, Tyler Wiggins, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Dico, and Mark Suter. None of this happens without their generosity. And because of their generosity, we're able to do things like CWK Pour Over, which you have access to for $5 or more a month on our CWK Patreon page. Here is this week's clip from our latest show. But the first night after preview night, I walked inside to my hotel because I was literally two blocks from the convention center, which is perfect. But I walked into my hotel lobby and I turned to my right and I see Tracy Canobio and I see Dave Filoni.
Wow.
And I, hey guys. And I smiled and waved and they said, hi. And then it must've been the end of the night for them too. So I walk over to the hotel or to the elevators and Dave walks over to the elevators and it opens and he and I walk on the elevator. So I went from the first floor to the 13th floor with Dave Filoni.
Did you talk to about him? Did you?
Oh yeah, I talked the whole time. And so he and I talked about the difference between Comic-Con and Celebration. He said he likes Celebration better. Mm. And he said, well, okay, get some rest because it's going to be a long day tomorrow. And then the next day, of course, was the Clone Wars panel. After that Clone Wars panel, which we can talk about if you want, I was waiting outside and I was talking to Amy, Radcliffe, who of course hosted mm-hmm. it. And she had no idea that the announcement was going to be that announcement either, which was even more exciting because she was completely taken off guard by it as well. But Dave walked out. So I went up to him and I said, oh man, this is so great. Thanks for doing this and blah, blah. And he said, well, it's not just me. It's everybody at Lucasfilm. I said, that's great. And I said, hey, you should have told me about this when we were on the elevator yesterday, thinking, oh, that will jar his memory. And he goes, what's the point? So it was great. It was great. Now, I do want to talk about Clone Wars because fantastic, right? That is a story about Comic-Con that I have not shared with our CWK family members. And now you got to hear a little bit of a clip of that, of my conversation with Dave on the elevator and other things that he and I chatted about throughout the Comic-Con experience. And that's what CWK Pour Over does. It gives you a chance to kind of go behind the curtain of Coffee with Kenobi, as well as into our lives. And we talk about different things that are passionate to us and geekdom and experiences that we have. And often we have a little more time to explore things that I don't get to talk about necessarily on the weekly show. So go to Coffee with Kenobi's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi for the benefit of listening to CWK Pour Over each week, access to our CWK lens, t-shirts, coffee mugs, and a whole lot more. So be sure to go to www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi for more details. We are back, and longtime friend of the show, Ian Desher from the William Shakespeare Star Wars series joins us. Ian, welcome back to Coffee with Kenobi.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. It is cool. I mean, anytime I get a chance to talk with you anyway, whether it's about Star Wars or not, is great. But the hot topic now, of course, is Jedi The Last. It's out. It's getting fantastic reviews, which is no surprise to me. But before we get to the actual book itself, I don't know for you. I mean, obviously, it's a Star Wars film, sure. But what about this movie translates so well to Shakespeare?
There are so many dramatic moments in this movie that are that sort of call out for the larger than life setting that I feel like Shakespeare, the language of Shakespeare, brings to can bring to something. So you know, things like certainly the final face off between Luke Skywalker and Kylo Ren, moment of Luke Skywalker's death. Rey's sort of confronting of her own demons, moments like Leia floating through space, Lieutenant Holdo, you know, crashing through the First Order ship. Just all these things that are just sort of so dramatic and wonderful. The things that when we're all sitting in the audience listening or watching the movie, you know, are making us gasp and clap and whatever, you know, those moments, I think, are just perfect for Shakespeare.
Oh, I agree. And each of these are like very, very powerful, paramount moments in these characters' evolutions anyway. And then, of course, no one understands character like Shakespeare. So walk us through some of these specific scenes you're talking about. Let's just start with the one with Rey in the cave, because I know there was a lot of challenges for that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. Anytime you have a moment in one of these movies that relies on something visual, the challenge for me when I'm translating that into something that is going to appear on the page is to try to give it sort of some sort of similar flavor, even though you can't do things visually in a book beyond illustrations, of course. And so what I did with that is, you know, in the movie we've got this long line of Rays, and I gave her a soliloquy that sort of she's describing, you know, this everything that's going on and her feelings as it's all happening. And during that speech, I used the letter R, standing for Rey, one time in each line of that speech, and in the very first line of the speech, R is the first letter, and in the second line of the speech, R is the second letter, and so on and so forth, down to the, I think, 36th line of the speech, where the 36th and final letter is R. So it sort of creates this unbroken link of R's that is trying to, through language, do the same thing that the movie is doing visually.
Which is you've done a lot of wonderful work. But I feel like that is maybe one of the most daunting things, not only because of what you just mentioned, but because that scene is so complex as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a challenge to write, you know, and I had to sort of plan out, okay, I've got to make sure that, because not only do I, you know, it's also one of her acrostic speeches. So it's also a speech that, you know, that down the left-hand side, the first letter of every line is spelling out something too. And so I sort of had to plan out, okay, this is exactly how long this speech has to be. I can't make it any longer or shorter because of the acrostic. And so I've got to make sure that by this point in the speech, I've covered this much of the action that's going on and, you know, and just making sure it all sort of works out. And yeah, it was definitely, I would say probably one of the two most difficult scenes I've written for these books. The other being the cloners on Kamino in the Clone Army Attacketh.
One of my favorites, because that has my favorite acrostic in all of them, of course. I trust in Zare.
Oh, of course. You mean the book? I was thinking. Yeah. I thought you meant the scene. Yeah, of course. yes, it is your acrostic. That's right. The acrostic that I wrote for Dan.
You know, last year when I was at the Rancho Obi-Wan Gala, I was talking with James Burns, and he was showing me something. And Steve Stansweet, of course, has this incredible library, but he's got all your books. So we pull out the Clone Army Attacketh, and I showed him, and Steve Stansweet's like, oh, wow, that's cool. So thanks for making me look really cool.
Hey, it's the least I could do. And thank you for your invaluable input into the prequels.
Oh, man, you know it. I'm always available, sir. So let's talk a little bit more about writing Jedi the Last. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things that I want to talk about, but what you did with Chewbacca, obviously you've written Chewbacca many times, but for some reason here, his voice in the book just kind of spoke to me in a different way. It just felt like a much more mature take on him, if that makes sense.
Hmm. I mean, it's been nice with the Force Doth Awaken and Jedi the Last to finally give some words to Chewbacca, where in my previous books, he was just speaking in sort of grunts and growls. And it is interesting I think Chewbacca is an interesting character for the Star Wars franchise right now, because now he's existing without Han. And I think that does bring something to him. Yes, and of course he also existed before Han, right, in the prequels, but didn't do a whole lot there. And so I think it is an interesting thing to sort of see how he develops over time when he's no longer in the presence of his dear friend.
I like that. I hadn't really thought about it from that point of view. He also, I feel like with the Disney regime, I feel like Chewbacca is matured a little bit as a character as well, and just become a little more profound. Now, we're not talking about Solo, because there's no William Shakespeare Solo, but Solo, I think, showed us Chewbacca that he's more, like you said, he's more than grunts and growls. Like there's more to this character, and I think that's kind of neat. He's come a long way from being a walking carpet.
Yeah, absolutely, he's. And that's because of, he's become a beloved character over the years. And I think he's one who will, it wouldn't surprise me if he in some way, shape or form, you know, lasts beyond the sort of Skywalker saga in some way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that would be wonderful. Another wonderful thing about Jedi the Last is BB-8. Now, obviously BB-8 is in both sequel trilogy books, but what went into finding a voice for this droid? Because between BB-8, R2, Yoda, these are certain iconic characters that are not tall in size, but they are in stature. But you have to find something unique for each of them, and BB-8 is certainly a fascinating one too.
Yeah. So with each of these characters, any of the characters who don't sort of speak in a traditional way, and I guess I would include Yoda in that, I have to figure out what am I going to do with them. And it's been important for me. I sort of have treated different classes of droids the same way. And so in the original trilogy, I think it's R5-D4, but you'll probably correct me if I'm wrong about that. But it has in some ways some sort of similar speech patterns to R2-D2.
Yeah.
And so with BB-8, I wanted to do something different. He's a different class of droid, right? Getting sort of deep in the geek weeds here. But I decided it'd be fun, you know, since he's got a number in his name, it'd be fun to, again, sort of, you know, give him some beeps and squeak types of sounds, but also let there be some way that his actual words and his meaning can be deciphered. But I didn't want to just have him speak in English like R2 does when he turns to the audience. So instead I gave him the skip code, where every eighth letter is actually a letter that once you put them all together actually forms what he's saying. And then I kept the convention, you know, in The Last Jedi, we get to meet BB-9E, and since again same class of droid that we're dealing with, so BB-9E also gets a skip code. Although in that case it's every third letter. I didn't want to do every ninth letter; that seemed like a little too far. But every third letter gets to be his skip code.
Wow. So when you're doing this and you're pitching this particular idea, do the editors have to be convinced on that, or do they just by this point just trust you because you obviously have proven time and time again that you know what you're doing?
I just put in the manuscript and sort of explained what I was doing, and it was fine. It didn't take any convincing. I think at this point they kind of just wait to see what I'm going to do with particular characters, and you know, if they don't like something, they'll let me know. But it seems like that one worked out okay.
That's pretty cool. I love it. Now, and I know you've been to Lucasfilm. What kind of feedback did you get from Lucasfilm when you were there?
Well, they've just always been so supportive and wonderful. Jennifer Heddle, who's my main contact there in Lucasfilm's publishing department, is just totally wonderful and supportive. And it's been a wonderful relationship, and I'm super grateful to them for letting me do it and letting me have so much freedom as I do it as well.
Well, I mean, and obviously when you're doing this, I mean, you love Star Wars and you're a great writer and you treat everything very respectfully, and which is great because Star Wars fans, we love that, right? But so this one, Jedi the Last, what is different about writing this one versus writing The Force Doth Awaken? Because they have a different tone as films, but also in your version of them as well.
That's interesting.
And I mean, obviously we've got a lot of background knowledge on these stories anyway, but I don't know. I really know how to explain it. It just has a different tone, but it's really, really, it's really cool. The thing that always amazes me about Star Wars is that we can take these stories and that have these very basic ideas and build upon them and create different ways of looking at them. And you do that so beautifully.
I mean, I think to the extent that The Force Awakens felt like coming home and sort of in some ways like sort of sitting in your favorite comfortable chair and you know, like just it was like a security blanket in some ways, right? It had the nostalgia and also had a familiarity to it in a lot of ways, and to the extent that it has that, I think The Last Jedi is new and unexpected in a lot of ways, and so that also I think gives us something that is wonderful, because I think had The Last Jedi been more predictable or been too much like some of its predecessors, I think I would start to worry about how much life is left in Star Wars. Instead, I feel like The Last Jedi kind of went in a totally new direction, and that tells me, gosh, there's so much life left here, right? I mean, right. There's so much more we can explore. We don't, and I love The Force Awakens because it felt more sort of. I mean, of course, it was doing new things, and of course, it was introducing new characters. I don't mean to say that it was, you know, any sort of, I think to call it a remake or anything like that is silly, right? But it did have a lot of familiar elements to it, right? And I loved it for that, and I also loved The Last Jedi because it has so much difference there,
right?
And I don't know to what extent that comes out in what I wrote, except that what I'm writing is a retelling of both movies.
Yeah, and maybe it's just as simple as that. Either way, you're channeling what JJ is trying to do or what Rian Johnson is trying to do. And I think that's cool. One thing I've always wondered about these books, by the way, is to me, for the craft of writing, I think titles are the hardest thing, or one of the hardest things, at least for me personally. But whenever titles of your books come out, I just think, oh yeah, of course. I love it. But is that challenging to find titles, or do those just kind of jump out?
It depends on the movie. Sometimes it's very challenging. Yeah. Jedi the Last actually was an easier one. I remember getting the email from my editor right after the title was announced, saying, "Oh my goodness, The Last Jedi. What are we going to do with that?" You know, and it just, I mean, it just felt so natural to call it Jedi the Last. The Force Awakens, I think, was harder, and it was harder because I didn't want to. We had done Return, you know, with Return of the Jedi, we had done The Jedi Doth Return. And I didn't want to go down the path of The Force Doth Awaken or The Force Awakeneth or something like that, because it felt a little too much like something we'd done before. Now, ultimately we did, and ultimately that's fine and that's great, right? But sometimes I find myself wanting to get more creative with this, and I have to remind myself that, like, it also has to be a recognizable title. You can't hear it and think, huh, I wonder what that is, right? You have to know, right. Okay, I get it. So that's, yeah. So there is definitely some challenge there, and it'll be interesting to see what they throw at us next.
No, I agree. Now that's cool, because you do want to make it Shakespearean and you want to make it authentic, but you also want to make sure that when people pass on the shelf, they say, oh, okay, cool. This is about The Last Jedi. I love it. Yeah. So one of the other things I love about your work is that you're always really clever with your Easter eggs. What Easter eggs can you share with us about Jedi the Last?
Yeah.
Also, never forget when I saw that you used Snoop for the Phantom Menace.
So let's see some of the Easter eggs in this one. I continue to be a gigantic fan of the musical Hamilton. So there is another Hamilton reference in this. I mean, there are lots of those kinds of, you know, pop culture references and things like that. There's one point at which Leia, you know, if you sort of think about the traditional five stages of grief, there's a passage in which she actually names all of those passages as she's talking about her grief over Han.
That's right. I love that, by the way. I thought that was very moving.
Thank you. There's references to Monty Python in here. Just all
James
kinds of
Bond too, right?
Oh, of course, James Bond. Yes, there are actually three different Easter eggs around James Bond. One is that when Rose is sort of when they're first approaching Canto Bight, and I don't remember exactly what the speech is that she says, but she has a double acrostic. So it's a six line speech, and down the left hand side the letters spell casino, and down the right hand side the letters spell royale. So it says spells casino royale. And then there's another podcast that I love called James Bonding, and I put in a reference to the guys who do that podcast, Matt Gourley and Matt Myra, and that's in the choruses line right as the chorus is describing Canto Bight and everything. And then of course there's the Master Codebreaker speech, and that was one that was just ridiculously fun, and I didn't know if I could even pull it off. But what it is it's actually it's another acrostic speech. I always forget about that. It's an acrostic speech that spells International Man of Mystery. But then each line of that speech references a James Bond movie. So and I cover all the James Bond movies from Dr. No through Spectre. So that was just sheer fun, right? Because the Master Codebreaker is such a James Bondy kind of character, and so that was a lot of fun to do. Yeah,
that is cool. And honestly, that character is one that I sort of struggle with. So you managed to add a little bit of gravitas to him, at least for me.
Oh, that's good. I'd love to hear about how you struggle with him.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, he frustrated me, and he was obviously supposed to frustrate you. That's kind of the thing, the sort of the amoral approach. And I know that's supposed to kind of represent, you know, society and some of the choices that we make or that we don't make. And I get that. And I don't know. It's just something I need to sort of marinate on a little bit. I guess I thought he was going to be a good guy. And at the end, when he flips, I guess I felt like I was Finn there for a minute. I was really empathizing.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Benicio del Toro, I would have liked to have seen more of him because he's such a powerful actor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the gig, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting to see him and how they handled his character. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do almost wonder if we'll see more. It felt like there was unfinished business there.
I agree.
When he walks off, but yeah.
I agree with you. I wonder what JJ's got up his sleeve. So that'll be fun to see. It's always, always fun to chat with you and to see and read your work. I love getting your new books in the mail because it's very, very fun. Plus, I know I get the chance to talk with you. So thank you so much, of course, for coming back to Coffee with Kenobi.
Thank you so much, Dan.
You bet. And where can people find you online if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
They can find me at iandescher.com or on Twitter at iandescher. Yep, I'm around.
He is around. We will have links to Ian's information on our show notes. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our look at the top five teachable moments in Star Wars. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio, featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies. Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn Alliances and Most Wanted, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Recently, I discovered Mack Weldon. I'm not sure if you've heard of Mack Weldon, but you should Google him right now. In fact, pause the show and I'll wait because they are amazing. Mack Weldon is this company that designs clothing that is comfortable, stylish, and affordable. They have this simple mission: make sure all the basics and beyond are smartly designed and shopping is easy and convenient. They founded Mack Weldon because they want to get more out of the basics, and they always question how something so essential could be such a pain to buy. Surrounded by a mind-numbing assortment of underwear and socks, Mack Weldon realized that consistent fit and quality is like a game of roulette, so they decided to take matters into their own hands. And boy, did they ever. They started from scratch and they engineered their own fabric and made sure their design process was meticulous so that we can count on the fit being the same each time. They built a world-class customer experience too, and I can personally vouch for that having worked with them over the past couple weeks. The difference really is in the detail. And this is the thing, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Honestly, it's a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. And they sent me a couple things. They let me pick. They gave me the catalog to choose from, which is on their website. Go to mackweldon.com and you can see it. But you can tell they believe in the smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. What I got, and let me get my little paper here, because I got the boxer briefs, I got the sweatpants, the Ace sweatpants, and then I got the Ion Weekender, which is basically, it's a travel bag. It's a weekender bag. I've been using it currently to go to the gym. So the briefs are really, really comfortable. They're awesome, in fact. And the sweatpants are amazing. Honestly, they're sweatpants, but they're so much more than that. They're the most comfortable sweatpants I've ever worn. They're just fantastic. In fact, I've worn them, even though it's been warm here in Central Illinois, I still wear them at night because they're just very, very comfortable. And my wife thinks that they look good. And I think that's awesome, right? I mean, they're sweatpants, but they're so much more when they're from Mack Weldon. And then this weekend, I've been using to go to the gym. It's huge. It's got a place to put in your shoes for when you're working out. It's got a place to put your wet stuff. And it comes with something that lets you charge your phone. And I think that is really, really cool too. Plus, it looks really, really slick and stylish. Mack Weldon, honestly, is the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants than you will ever wear. And I can personally vouch for that, as I just said. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means basically that they eliminate odor. They want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you keep it and they will still refund you, no questions asked. Now, not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well too. It's good for working out, going to work, going out on dates, or just everyday life. So, as I mentioned before, I bought those three things. The website was very, very easy. The products that I like the most, well, they're all great, but those sweatpants or something, like, honestly, I got the Ace. They're Total Eclipse Blue, but I think I'm going to get a gray pair because they are so comfortable. I can't even begin to tell you how comfortable they are. So here's what you need to do to get your incredible pair of Mack Weldon sweatpants, boxers, t-shirts, hoodies, whatever you need to do. Go to MackWeldon.com, enter the promo code CWKFAMILY at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. And let me know what you got. Maybe put some pictures on social media. And I really think you're going to be super happy. Honestly, I'm very impressed. I'm going back to Mack Weldon the next time I need to get something because it's so comfortable and so easy to find what you need. So again, for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com, enter the promo code CWKFAMILY at checkout. But you also need to worry about getting that close, comfortable shave without having to go through that hassle of going to the store and finding the right blades and making sure they fit your razor. And it just gets to be a little tedious. But the good news is with Harry's, you don't have to worry about that at all. And that is exactly what I love about Harry's. Besides the fact that their razor is really comfortable, it's got a nice ergonomic handle, the shave is really, really good and clean and close. And I love it because Harry stands behind the qualities of their blades, and they also know that switching razors is not an easy decision. So fortunately for all of us, they've created a trial offer, which you can get by going to harrys.com/CWKFAMILY. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They know a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts, which is why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. Just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more a month. And you have a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. Now let me be sure to give you the details of this trial offer because you're definitely going to want to take advantage. You're going to get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which smells awesome, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKFAMILY. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKFAMILY to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. We are back, and when we started off the show, we were going through our top 5 teachable moments in Star Wars, and we all gave our first 2, and obviously we just heard from Ian, but now, Becca, we are back to you and your third choice for the top 5 teachable moments in Star Wars.
Well, I picked from Star Wars Rebels. Okay. I absolutely adore Hera. I relate to her probably the most as of right now, but she says one thing that has stuck with me throughout these seasons, and it's, if all you do is fight for your own life, then your life is worth nothing. I love this because I look at that not as on a galactic scale, but as a parental scale. You know, I had my kids early, so I had to learn to be selfless early. You know, when you're 22 years old, you're very selfish. You want to go out, you want to do things for you, you want to buy things for you. And I had to basically train myself to not be that way. And now I'm at a point where it's so hard to think of, okay, I want to do something for me. I'm constantly living my life or fighting my life for those 3 kids. That's what I'm here for. So even at work, when they call me, and yes, my oldest is going to be 21, and they'll call me and something is going wrong. Like even with my son, he couldn't, you know, get set up for football. And I, you know, he kept saying, Mom, you have to be there. Well, I'm at work. I mean, there's nothing I could do. I dropped what I'm doing, though, at work, called the admin of athletics and say, you know, work with me here. I got everything in for my son by, you know, via fax. So again, what is your life if you're just doing something for yourself in selfish, you know, in a selfish mode? You know, you feel good when you can make someone else happy and you do something for somebody else. So maybe it's not exactly fighting a war per se, but, you know, you're standing up and you're doing things for those that need someone to do it for them because they can't do it themselves. So that's how I look at that on a parental scale. And
much more personal and much more powerful. I agree.
I love it.
Devin, what's your next one?
Well, I think you kind of touched on it a little bit already, but in The Last Jedi, I just love the conversation between Luke and Yoda. And how Yoda says, we are what they grow beyond. And then again, failure, the greatest teacher is. It's hard to let go of our mentor, teacher, caregiver attachment to our kids when they literally outgrow us. Both Becca and I are in a stage of life where we are caring for the parent and finding it a lot like caring for toddlers that we had all those years ago. But
it's true.
That's for another show.
My grandmother's 100, and we're going through the same thing.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
You win.
That's pretty great, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm caring for my mother-in-law. She's 93, so wow. But we all hope, pray, and guide our kids to become better than we are. I mean, that's the goal, right? Mm. That they'll have a better life than we had. And I think every parent would love the scenario of the struggling to put the kid through life who becomes a football star and buys mom a house scenario, right? But we know from experience that they don't always listen, and they have to learn by failure. And again, which is the greatest teacher. So, you know, I didn't listen to my parents either. But it is rewarding when you finally get the call, I wish I had listened to you, or thank you for being the parent I needed, even though at the time I hated you for it. You know, those sentences that you get is worth the time you put in.
That's right. And it always happens when you least expect it to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which ties in nicely to my third one, and that is from the Forces of Destiny episode, A Disarming Lesson. And I love this episode. I think it's quite profound. It's when Ahsoka is training Ezra, and Ezra is showing his lightsaber. He recently acquired his Kyber crystal, to make his first lightsaber. And she says, oh, so... Basically, she taunts him and says, oh, so you think this is what makes you a Jedi? This is what makes you powerful? And she starts attacking him when he doesn't have his lightsaber ready to go. And he's scared. I think he's aware deep down at his core that she's not going to hurt him, but he's a little bit frightened and intimidated. And she doesn't back off for a while, and she teaches him to rely on himself and not a weapon or not some sort of an object, to, again, focus on him. And I'm sure you're both noticing a pattern here, and a lot of the ones that we are all picking out, a very common, very powerful motif in Star Wars is honestly, it's a bit of self-reliance and trusting in who you are and who you are meant to be. And I think it's a very, very beautiful moment in Star Wars.
Oh, I agree. Actually, that reminds me of, I believe, the Ahsoka Tano book. Mm-hmm. When she mentions in the book that there is no such thing as an unarmed Jedi.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah, because you don't need a weapon to be armed.
That is
correct. An actual physical one. So, yeah. Great moment.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What is your next one?
My next one, well, wouldn't be anything if I didn't bring up Anakin.
I was wondering. Oh. I thought, do we have the right Becca on?
Okay, so he talks about compassion, which I would define as unconditional love, is central to a Jedi's life. So you might say we are encouraged to love Anakin Skywalker. Yes, he says this to Padme, and everyone's going, but you can take it that maybe he's trying to impress her with this. But if you really look at it, as Dan would say, you know, through a critical lens, you could say Anakin is more or less talking about how Qui-Gon Jinn saved him from a life of slavery or oppression, something we could all learn from, being selfless and helping those that can't help themselves or don't have the means to do so. Compassion. So I look at that, and that's, again, where I work in the medical field, and a lot of our patients are elderly. So, and they come in for their eyes, they can't see very well, so I am constantly helping them, getting up from what I'm doing, helping them to the restrooms, helping them get their coffee or their snack, and helping them sit, because some of them can't even find where their chair is, you know, because they can't see. So these are all these things that come into play in an everyday thing for me, because it's sad. Like Devin was saying, both of us are at a stage where not only are we taking care of our kids, we're taking care of our parents now too. So when I see people drop off their elderly parents and leave them there for 3-4 hours at a specialty doctor and no one's sitting with them, it breaks my heart. So I will go over there. I will make sure they're okay. I will see if they need anything. I don't have to. That's not in my job, you know, but I do it because I would want someone to be there for my parents if they were there, you know, all by themselves. So,
and you're a good person, and you're using empathy, which I think the Jedi should do. So right on. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, no one has to thank me. but thank you for thanking me.
No, it's always good. You know, the example, I think, is wonderful. I mean, I don't know. That really affected me hearing you tell that story.
Aw, well, I'm glad I could have some effect. That's good. Thanks, sure. Dan.
For sure. And Devin, what's your next one?
My next one is from Rebels. When Ezra is faced with a choice to reunite with his family and leave everything that he's worked for and that everybody has died for behind, it made me think of, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. It was a hard choice. It was teaching him to make a hard choice. We all want the easy way out. But is it the right choice for everybody involved, you know, for the future, for our loved ones? I remember when Obi-Wan tells Luke, "Your insight serves you well. Bury your feelings deep down, Luke. They do you credit, but they could be made to serve the Emperor." Well, that's exactly what happened to Ezra. And, you know, it was a very hard choice for him to make. He could have decided, "I'm going to go and be with my parents." But he realized that if he had done that, everything that they had worked and died for and all that time would be lost.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Wow. These are so good. I love. It's so cool that we're all working from the same pool, but we're pulling different things out, which shows you that how dynamic this mythology is. My fourth one, and I sort of started on it when I mentioned do or do not, there is no try for my second one earlier in the show. But I rewatched this section again today, the Last Jedi sequence with Yoda, and when he says weakness, folly, and failure, the greatest teacher is. And I already talked about this, but I don't think people understand enough how important it is that he messes up. And to me, a lot of the consternation about confusion over The Last Jedi, I think there's a misunderstanding about what Luke does at the end of Return of the Jedi. He doesn't go into this berserker Conan Wolverine rage. He throws away his weapon, right? He's okay with, like, this is a mistake. For him, it's about being a pacifist, but it's also more about using love, right? And this notion here of failure, I think one of Luke's biggest problems in The Last Jedi is that he's forgotten to love himself. Instead, he's chosen to blame himself and then to attack himself and blame himself. We can all take blame, but to a certain degree, the person who does the act, that's the person who has to deal with their actions, ultimately. Once Luke realizes he has to forgive himself and be okay with failing, then that is where he succeeds.
I agree. But at least Luke can take ownership. That's one thing I can always say.
That's right.
Has always taken ownership. His father had a hard time with that. It was always somebody else's fault.
Exactly.
So I do think, like you said, it's that final step with being okay with, okay, I messed up. So now I need to go forward and how am I going to fix that? You know, so, but at least he can say I messed up.
Right. That's right. Exactly. And it takes him a while to do it. But again, I think that makes him more relatable, which is really cool. So let's go ahead and take our last break. And when we come back, we will finish off our list and we'll all give our fifth answer to what we think of the top 5 teachable moments in Star Wars. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn Alliances and Most Wanted, to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of coffee with Kenobi. You've got this amazing company with the best coffee I have ever had, truly. They just released something on Instagram where they show how they roast and prepare and package their coffee, and it's a quick video, but it just shows you the care they put into this, and they know their stuff. It's amazing. Whenever I travel, I truly miss this coffee. It's the best I've ever had. It smells amazing and tastes even better. So be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com to set up a coffee subscription and help your morning get started off the right way. As you are getting ready to prepare for Star Wars Celebration Chicago, you're going to need an airline, most likely. You're going to need a hotel. You're going to need to do a lot of things, which is why I suggest to use the official travel agency of Coffee with Kenobi, MEI, and Mouse Fan Travel. They have signature service and expert advice to help you maximize your vacation time and dollar. I use them all the time, and you know I do a lot of traveling for this show, and they are the absolute best. Plus, if you want to go to Disney World, you know, which is a pretty great place, they can help you plan everything, including food, which is the best rides to go on what days and what times. It's really fantastic. So be sure to go to www.mousefantravel.com today and let them know Coffee with Kenobi sent you. We're back, and we have one left, each of us do, and so far we really haven't had any overlap. I wonder if that will be the same throughout. So, Becca, what is your last one?
Well, it wouldn't be anything if we didn't discuss one of our most central characters, and she's wonderful. She's enhanced so much when it comes to Star Wars, more than what we thought we knew, or at least what we thought we knew. We didn't really know until we got her, Ahsoka Tano. When she comes back into the scene in Rebels, there's a moment where she tells Ezra and Kanan, and she's like, this is a new day, a new beginning. And I love this. It really choked me up because to me, this means it's never too late. Each day is a clean slate, not necessarily a do-over, but it's a chance to be better, to become better than you were before, to do better and to make your dreams come true. But you have to do it. You can't just want it. You have to make it happen. And I love this because even though the day, you know, whatever you may have been set out to do didn't work that at that moment, guess what? You get up and you try again. So it kind of goes against the grain of Yoda, you know, do or do not. There is no try, because in a way, to me, she is saying you need to try or you're never going to get it done. So I like this one. It's fresh and it makes you feel good that it doesn't. It to me, even if you don't, you know, don't finish or, you know, make it happen when you started out to do it, doesn't mean it still can't happen because there's always tomorrow. So I like that. It doesn't make you feel like you wasted your efforts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that process is a hugely important part of it as well. Devin, what is your last one?
My last one is where Yoda tells Luke, anger, fear, aggression, the dark side are they. Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Of course, I can't say it like Luke or like Yoda. I'm not going to try.
Pretty good.
Anyway. Oh, but I get to thinking that a lot of things in Star Wars that stand out to me in this particular stage in my life, you know, I'm looking at Star Wars through my life lens right now and what's going on around me. And so I'm thinking, you know, when we allow dark and negative things to be the focus in our lives, then they can dominate our present and our future. And I'm going back into the addiction of one of my children that has, and it was fueled by anger, fear, and aggression. You know, having this addiction was fueled by that. And so I've seen a child of mine go down the dark path, and it has and does dominate not only their life, but the lives of the people around them. And, you know, I hope I'm not bothering people with it being so open about this, but I have been open about this for years. But the good news is he's been through rehab and he is recovering. So I don't want people to think that it's an ongoing problem.
Sure. No, I think it's it's so wonderful that you're being so open, and I think it's I really appreciate it. I think it's lovely.
Well, there's so many people that are in my place feel that they have no one or they're alone in it, and I certainly did at first, but it's actually better to share and be open about it.
Absolutely,
I agree with you. I agree with you, and I appreciate your honesty. This is part of the importance of this Star Wars community, that we, you know, we help each other, we heal each other,
right.
Just through honesty and being a real person, which I think is important. My last one is Back to the Phantom Menace. Who knew I'd have two from the Phantom Menace on here? But it's Qui-Gon. I love me some Qui-Gon. But he says, down center on your anxieties, Obi-Wan. Keep your concentration on the here and now, where it belongs. Another motif apparently in my list, and that's just breathe. Don't be anxious. Just focus on the present. Focus on the moment. If you've seen the latest Christopher Robin film, the Disney film with Ewan McGregor, there's this lovely moment at the end where Pooh says his favorite day is today. And that got me really kind of choked up, because it's very similar to this quote from Qui-Gon about keep your concentration on the here and now. Focus on today. That's the only thing you can do anything about. Tomorrow was yesterday. I mean, you know, not tomorrow was yesterday, but yesterday was yesterday. Tomorrow is tomorrow. You can't do anything about those days. Just focus on right now, this moment. Breathe deeply and just be yourself. Let things happen. And I think it's very, very, very important. As was having this conversation with the two of you, I really appreciate the thought and care you put into this, but I knew you would, and that's one of the great things about having you on Coffee with Kenobi. Where can listeners find each of you and your wonderful show?
Well, Devin, they can find us where? Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take us out. So,
okay.
Ready? They can find Devin and I at Kanata's Castle on Twitter at Castle Kanata. They can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Kanata's Castle Podcast. They can actually email us at kanataskastle@retrozap.com or is it at Gmail? I'm sorry. I'm not looking at it.
No, you're right.
I was right the first time. That's good. But they can also listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM.
Libsyn,
Google Play.
Podknife.
Basically, wherever you catch your pods, we should be there.
Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and take our very last break. And when we come back, we will close out the show. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors. Penguin Random House Audio, Mac Weldon, HelloFresh, One Nation Coffee, Harry's Razors, and Mouse Fan Travel. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Also, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own feeds now. A big thank you to Ian Descher, Becca Benjamin, and Devin Myers for joining me this week. Have a great week, everybody. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, and I can't wait to see you next time as we have more Star Wars conversation. Thanks again for joining me. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.